Live to see it, friends, and welcome to the world transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At the World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-author, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I am amazing. I hope you are as well.
And I am totally amazing. It's amazing Wednesday on the World Transformed, and we got an amazing topic tonight, don't we?
Yes. CRISPR is something that, we probably should spend some time explaining what it is we're talking about before we get into the latest news on this.
I think we definitely should, but before even that, I'm going to come back to our Monday topic just for a moment, because after the show ended, you told me something that I thought bears a little bit of repeating here on the show. We were talking about airships to orbit on Monday, and Stephen mentioned that he had written a short story on this subject and published to The Speculist years ago when we first started doing The Speculist. And you got some feedback on that I didn't realize had occurred. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in the comments section after that, a kind person from JPL, wrote back and said, hey, cool story, but you got a couple things wrong. And I had mentioned that a person that was arriving at the Dark Sky Station and unbuckling and, preparing to enter the station, noticed a reduction in gravity at the altitude of the Dark Sky Station. And the guy said, while there's a slight, mathematically you could probably measure a difference in gravity at that altitude, you wouldn't notice it. It's too little to be noticed. So, you're walking around, same kind of gravity. You're not floating or hopping or anything. And so, I thanked him for that. And then I think it was like the following day he wrote back and said, and you got something wrong with the pylons. I forget what that was. I'm going to have to go back and read it. I'd stated something to the effect of maybe perhaps walking on the pylons and it being pushed down. Well, apparently the pylons are relatively stiff as envisioned by JPL. So anyway, I a couple of details, technical details that were engaged by someone from the company. So I found that fascinating, and maybe I should go back and rewrite it and incorporate these corrections, Phil.
That's not a bad idea. Let's get a new version of that story out, and
do something a little more than just a guy showing up and turning the lights on. Maybe put a little
add a romance angle. Action. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Space opera romance. We got to
get a little romance in there. That's right. Maybe some intrigue, some spies, a few things like that. I'm just you got the technical comments from that guy. Mine are a little late, but those are the ones I'm throwing out there. Let's get some more high concept elements in here, and we'll see if we can't chop this thing around. I'm getting pretty excited about your dark sky story. I think it's got legs. I just very cool that you had gotten that feedback, and I think it's I don't know. It just goes to show what a compelling idea the Dark Sky Station is. Everybody wants to read about it, even the people who are actually working on making it happen, commenting on your story. Here we go, CRISPR and the biotech revolution. We got a couple of stories here. One on Wired, at Wired, CRISPR snips away humanity's worst diseases, and a piece that I've linked from Reason, CRISPR and the dawn of the new biotech revolution. The Reason piece talks about two things going on here with CRISPR, and yet to back it up, as you said, CRISPR is the word processor of gene editing, right? It's the new simplified interface, not just an interface, but it's a software that allows you to edit the genetic code in the way that computer programmers edit computer code. That is a vast oversimplification, but that's essentially what CRISPR is, right?
Well, let me read. I Googled this real quick, and this is an interesting description here. CRISPR spacer sequences are transcribed into short RNA sequences, capable of guiding the system to matching sequences of DNA. When the target DNA is found, Cas9, one of the enzymes produced by the CRISPR system, binds the DNA and cuts it, shutting the targeted gene off. So, you know, you can almost think about it, imagine almost a system of magnets or something that's tailored to, you know, be attracted to the thing that you want to pull in, and the other end of the CRISPR sequence attracted to the place that you want to take it. And then once that transportation has happened, another aspect of it, the Cas9 enzyme cuts it off and establishes it on the DNA sequence. What you're trying to do there. That's fascinating to me that they're able to do that. Very cool.
But and when you combine those two capabilities, the one to kind of insert into it and start making changes, and then to cap that off and say, this is the one we want to repeat. This is how we want this to read now. Effectively, through that, whatever that is, biomechanical process, you can now make essentially any change you want to that DNA, right? That's what CRISPR is allowing.
Right.
You can go ahead.
Ultimately, it's just the word processor of genes. You're able to decide. I want to place this genetic sequence into this organism. This allows it. This is the way to do it, and it's
now
remarkable.
We've had gene therapy since the 70s. The problem with them has been one of figuring out you're talking about moving proteins around, so it was always finding the right lever, finding the right thing to move just the right pieces to make this happen. So CRISPR has solved that problem by essentially making it, kind of making a universal computer almost out of the gene code. You can make any change you want. So the next big problem is knowing what changes to make to bring which benefits. But we're getting closer and closer on that, and this reason piece talks about two really promising pieces of research, one of which involves using CRISPR, going in, editing the genome, and essentially removing the HIV virus from, obviously not humans, but live experimental animals. So they've got
right. They've got
test subjects, animals that have HIV, and they've essentially removed it using CRISPR. Now, this is huge, not only in its implications for treating human patients with HIV eventually, but huge for every virus, right? I mean, the thing about viruses is you don't really cure them, right? Either you die from them or they stop, right? There are treatments for viruses. There are vaccinations for viruses. But this is a cure for a virus, right? Is that like unheard of in the history of medicine? I think it might be pretty close to that anyway.
You know, it's interesting that apparently HIV is uniquely susceptible to this CRISPR-type treatment. What HIV does is it hides, right? I'm reading from the Wired article here. Part of the problem is HIV's ability to squirrel itself away inside the cell's DNA, including the DNA of the immune cells that are supposed to be killing it. So, but CRISPR, it's interesting. The HIV CRISPR system, it can be hid itself inside another type of virus capable of sneaking past the host's immune system. And so it'll attack HIV using, some of the same tricks that HIV is using itself, right?
It's stealth warfare going on here, It's the Romulan cloaking device, right, basically going on here at the gene level. That's what you see happening. HIV develops this advanced cloaking technology, and then CRISPR comes along, and we can do it one better. We can get it under it and undo it. I think that is just probably hard to overestimate. You know, there's a lot of hype around a lot of things here, but when you talk about a technology that's capable of doing this, that's capable of going in and undoing a virus, what word can you use to describe the scope of that? Right, that's as big as it gets, I think, just about.
Right.
At the end of the Wired story, they talk about the fact that Angelina Jolie, who we know a few years back, went through this really massive program to prevent herself from getting cancer.
Right.
You know, some real extreme kind of interventions that she did, including having her breasts removed. And they talk about the fact, well, in the age of CRISPR, the intervention would be one of going in and snipping away these BRCA2 genes that represented the threat that she would get cancer. So,
right.
You know, it's a matter of addressing some of the most, what's the word I'm looking for, relentless health challenges that we face and taking them right on, and some of the worst diseases that we face, HIV, cancer. You know, we know that in a lot of cases cancer has this genetic component to it, and preventing cancer by preventing the virus that causes it from going in and from even getting a start, from even being able to give a person cancer in the first place. I don't know. I just every time we talk about CRISPR, I find myself just kind of breathless almost.
It's not mentioned in either of the stories that we're looking at this evening, Phil, but I would guess that some CRISPR techniques could be used to battle antibiotic-resistant bacterial infections too. So we're talking.
Well, in fact, if you read on in the Reason piece, that's the next thing they talk about.
Okay.
That CRISPR is being used to develop. They're developing a pill that's going to use CRISPR to target specific microbial pathogens. So, in fact, one of the biggest problems medicine is facing today is that antibiotics have failed, right? Talk about, to go back to the military analogy and the arms race analogy, we are on the verge of having to retreat where antibiotics are concerned. We've developed antibiotics over the years, and the bugs we're trying to kill just keep evolving to resist them, to the point that we've evolved these superbugs that are resistant to almost any antibiotic, to everything that we have. And now, and we've got a new way in. You can instruct harmful bacteria to shred their own genes to bits, basically. So it's a whole new world of taking on the bacteria that we have made so.
You know what
dangerous.
I love about this?
We can now totally disarm it.
Yeah, you know, evolve around this. You know, you can't do.
Exactly. That's the idea, right?
Yeah.
You go in, you give it a little, here, swallow this, why don't you, Mr. Bacteria? Rather than sending in another, you know, basically another bacteria that fights the bacteria, you're sending in it's some bait, right? You're sending in something that looks to it like, here's more water for me. It latches onto it and basically tells the bacteria to kill itself. Which is obviously, you know, kind of what the bacteria does to us, only in reverse. Once again, it's not an escalation of the arms race. It's kind of taking it in a completely new direction. So there it is. Okay, just in a very brief, quick description of CRISPR, we've talked about it effectively being used potentially against HIV, against cancer, and as the solution to the big problem of antibiotic resistance. Any
right.
new technology that came along and did anything effective in any of those three areas would be heralded as a miracle technology, right? And here we've got
right.
something. We've just listed three things that it's probably going to do major breakthroughs in all three of those areas, and that's just scratching the surface. We've hardly even started talking about the different kinds of things that that CRISPR is going to allow.
And even more exotic things like how about anti-aging, Phil? I mean, that's if we could engineer our genes to repair themselves after a certain age, and when things tend to break down, we get in there and get to work with that too. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely. When we talk about aging occurring within our cells, we talk about aging being basically, as Aubrey de Grey describes it, one of seven different kinds of damage that occur within our cells. It's pretty easy for me to imagine a tool like CRISPR being able to go into and address all of those. If there is a, Aubrey's term is strategies for engineered negligible senescence, SENS. If there is a SENS cure for aging, it looks to me like CRISPR is the tool that will accomplish it. You know, we may fight aging on other fronts, and we may take it on in other ways. But if there is a if Aubrey is right and SENS is the way to go, and taking on those seven areas of damage within the cell, then going in and taking control of the machinery of the cell at the most fundamental level, which is what CRISPR allows you to do, seems to me this is the magic bullet. I haven't heard Aubrey say that, so you know. Let me just put it out there that it looks to me like it would be anyhow. We should get him back on the show and ask him if he's as enthusiastic about the technology as I personally am. But looks to me like it would be tremendously effective. The other thing it seems to me that you could do with CRISPR, speaking of different approaches to fighting aging, is we know that there's a correlation between the length of our telomeres within our cells and how old we are. That is not just a correlation. Apparently, it turns out there is a causal effect, that as your telomeres get shorter, you age. And if you can re-lengthen them, it's entirely possible that some of the symptoms of aging are reduced or go away completely. Well, CRISPR looks like it might be potentially a tool that could accomplish that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I wanted to mention, Phil, that CRISPR is huge at the SENS conference. It seems like every year they have the SENS conference, and they talk more and more about CRISPR. So, yes, very much on Aubrey de Grey's radar, and obviously not just he, but everybody that's involved in that SENS-type research is big on CRISPR.
It seems like it would be the kind of thing that... that he, you know, it's like this is the tool that Aubrey's been looking for. I mean, that's how it looks to me. The reason piece starts out talking about all kinds of new cures, new crops, new livestock, new industrial processes, and new ways to manage the environmental commons. So just take that sweep, right? Basically, it's a tool. Well, all it really does is impact anything that the gene code has anything to do with, right? So, you know, if the gene code doesn't have anything to do with it, then CRISPR's no help. But when you look at how broad a space that actually is, it's so huge. When you talk about agriculture, medicine, when you talk about the environment, these are non-trivial things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we talked last week about the... you know, just as one whack example, but the caterpillar that eats plastic, right?
Right.
Now, if we are ever to deploy like a large scale biologically based solution to plastic in the oceans, right? Release an organism or, you know, produce some kind of, I don't know what it would be, some kind of biological technology that goes out hunting that plastic down and converting it into something benign, CRISPR is almost certainly going to be the technology that makes something like that happen. It's really only possible to talk about something like that happening in realistic terms because CRISPR exists. In the past, we could talk about maybe someday we'll have a technology that would allow us to go in and edit the genetics of this caterpillar and turn it into something else that we could use to that effect. But I think about real simple stuff like... we talk about how the fat ratio is wrong in beef, that it's, you know, because of the way we feed the cows, there's too many omega 6 fats versus omega 3 fats, right? Seems like a little genetic tweaking, and you could fix stuff like that in a fairly straightforward way. And we know that genetic engineering has led to significant crop breakthroughs in terms of making them pest resistant, less dependent on water, able to grow in environments that they weren't able to grow. And this was all before CRISPR, right? So people who are afraid of GMOs, I'm sorry, but the world's going to get a lot scarier for you, okay?
Because unfortunately for you, but fortunately for everybody, even you. and think about, you know, to those who have expressed concerns about GMOs, you know, made with CRISPR-type technologies and things, we've been altering the genetics of plants ever since we started crossbreeding various plants to get them to do what we wanted them to do, right? And I mean that goes back thousands and thousands of years since we started. We'll take this piece of wheat because and plant from it because it's more productive than this other stuff. And you know, generations and generations of that, you eventually get something that's very productive. Well, this allows you to just tweak one individual gene, because when you're cross breeding plants and things, you get all sorts of mixtures of genes. You're not just doing one gene as you would here. And you get all sorts of side effects or things happening with the plant that you may have not have intended. With this, it tends to be one thing that one or two genes that you're changing, and so
it's a much more targeted, much more precise.
Yeah, it's a targeted,
and you can aim at the thing that you want to make happen. Yes, all kinds of room for unintended consequences. Every new technology is going to have those, all kinds of false starts that can occur. But when you look at the potential benefit, when you look at the fact that we've lived at the mercy kind of the, you know, just precociousness, the unpredictability of genetic interactions for all of our history, the ability to control that is huge, because we've been trying to, from the bottom up, from outside in, as you said, Stephen, all along. We didn't know we were doing it, but that's what we were doing, right? Now we know what we actually know what we're doing. Yeah, there's a little bit of risk associated with that, but the benefits are almost incalculable, almost unstatable, just across every field.
Right.
I think there's not much more you can say about CRISPR unless there was something you wanted to add.
I think that's about it. And so, anyway, yeah, we mentioned anti-aging in tonight's program associated with CRISPR, but we're talking all anti-aging on Friday, aren't we?
That's right. You know, we're hitting just kind of stepping-stoning through the topics this week. You know, it's we start off with the airships into space, come back to them on Wednesday, then we touch on anti-aging tonight, then we're going to come back to that on Friday's show. So that's going to be fun. It's great talking with you, Stephen, tonight about CRISPR. Look forward to being with you all on our brand new show on Friday. And until next time, live to see it.